Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. Call Johnny now at 844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, here's Johnny.
And happy Tuesday, everyone. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Zach Williams making sure everything runs great. Jam-packed 2 hours. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, around 4:35, Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com, and other sites talking NFL. Also at 5:05, Barrett Salee, national college football writer with CBSSports.com and a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. And then around 5:35, Teresa Walker, Hall of Famer, four-time Sports Writer of the Year here in Tennessee with the Associated Press. We'll be visiting with her as well. Zach, hope your Tuesday is going wonderfully.
This weather's terrific. So I got got a run in, hit the gym. It felt really nice out today.
Are you going to be motivated to do it again tomorrow with the, 70% chance of some kind of snow showers or
something?
Yeah,
what's up with that? Is this like the snow showers that are just going to hit like the plateau and then it's not really going to do anything in the actual Middle Tennessee area? That always happens.
I tell you what, it was really strange last night as soon as we got off the air, you know, with the thunderstorms. And look, I have a lot of friends impacted by the tornado that went through north part of Birmingham, the Fultondale area, you know, in the Fultondale going towards Center Point. And certainly thoughts and prayers for everybody down there in the Fultondale area. I mean, that's, you know, how sad. I mean, in January, it's just strange, absolutely strange weather. And look, we obviously know all about that with what we all experienced, you know, back in March of last year as well. But certainly thoughts and prayers going out to the folks down there. Hey, this one broke last hour. I don't know if you had a chance to talk about this or not. The Southeastern Conference, it impacts Nashville. SEC Football Media Days 2021 was supposed to be in Nashville. That is no longer the case. It will be in Hoover as far as this year, as long as everything, you know, thumbs up. We hope everything is scheduled as normal. And Nashville is going to get rescheduled for the summer of 2023. And if everybody recalls, you know, the 2020 version of the SEC Media Days was canceled due to COVID-19. And one other thing, as far as the site for 2022, that has not been announced yet. I'm just going to throw it out there. My assumption will be Atlanta, but time will tell.
Yeah, you kind of expected this to happen too, because they even talked about in that email that they wanted to have all the unique like fan interaction and all this different stuff. Well, it's just probably not going to happen with the way everything is right now, so...
What did Nashville basically show off what Nashville is able to do?
That's what they did with the draft, right? It's exactly what they wanted to do with the draft happened. They wanted to do that here. And I don't blame them. So it's just unfortunate that, you know, Nashville got to, they're going to miss out a couple more years in this. And hopefully by 2023, it's all everyone good to go.
All right. So we'll also during the show get an announcement as far as who, if anyone, gets inducted into this year's Baseball Hall of Fame. You know, it's a 10-year thing now. Back in 2014, they changed the rules. Instead of waiting for 15 years to be on a ballot, you could only be on it for 10 years, and then you get sent to, you know, the ERA committee. So this is the next to last opportunities for Curt Schilling, Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds. If anyone gets in, I'm going to say it's Curt Schilling. I'm going to say nobody gets in. I think Curt Schilling is going to come close. I think he will probably end up with about 74%, but you need 75. And so I think he comes close but does not get in. But if anyone gets in, I think it will be Curt Schilling.
I wonder if Curt Schilling's going to get in just because of what he's done after baseball. I mean, being a Nazi sympathizer is not a real – it's not a good look for the Hall of Fame if they let somebody in like that. So I just – I wonder if that's going to play an effect to this. If we're saying just off baseball, you know, yeah, he should get in. But if we're talking about the encompass, which I think they do, right? I think they do say the encompass of the person. That's why we look at Barry Bonds and he's still not in. Then Curt Schilling really, I mean, he really should not be getting in.
I mean, if you look at his record, you know, he had 216 wins, 146 losses, Curt Schilling we're talking about. 3.46 earned run average. He did have over 3,000 strikeouts, and I think because of what he did postseason-wise is what gets him the extra benefit of the doubt. Somebody else in their next to last year, I don't think we'll get in. He is Sammy Sosa, and that means my jersey becomes useless and not worth as much that he's autographed. He only got 13.9% last year. He's got a lot of ground to make up to go from 13.9 to 75% by next year. Don't see that happening. Scott Rolen, you know, I'm looking at I don't understand the fascination with Scott Rolen. You know, I understand he's going to probably take, based on the preliminary votes, what's out there that we know of, he's going to take a pretty sizable jump this year. But I'm just not quite sure why. To me, Scott Rolen is not a Hall of Famer. We'll see how that all plays out. Now, for first-year guys, you know, you have the likes of a Tim Hudson, a Torrey Hunter. I'm gonna say Torrey Hunter will probably get the most love. Here's a guy with 2,452 hits, 353 home runs. Is he a Hall of Famer? I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. But he will get a lot of love and of the first year for the first for the individuals on the ballot for the first time. I think he will probably end up getting the best percentage of everybody.
I just think first year guys. Bonds should be getting in, and I understand everybody's going to say steroids, but at some point, shock everybody here though, but you know, steroids are around still today and have been through all aspects of sports.
You have to admit it.
And
you have to come clean.
For even the players that you don't know, and I guarantee you some of the newcomers who are coming in that are the new names, what's the word? The new names that are going to be up for the Hall of Fame, they probably use steroids, just didn't get caught. And I don't know. It's not a clean game. It never really has been. Once there's always been generations of different, you know, boosts, if you will, PEDs,
well, in the 70s,
if you will.
They like taking the greenies.
Yeah, you know? I mean, this is not a thing that, you know, we know they're the poster children of that era, but they were not just the only ones doing it.
The difference is this, though. You know what the eras you're talking about. You know what they took. Yeah, it was they were able to get up and play a game the next day, but it didn't do anything to physically help them to hit the ball. You know, you still have to connect with the ball, but as far as putting extra distance on a baseball, that's the thing and the difference between steroids and you know, the things that other eras were talking
about.
Well,
and I'm talking, too, about the players that played alongside Barry Bonds, right? The players that were – you think he was the only guy in the locker room that was juicing up? No,
but
not
you don't
at all.
But here's the thing. There's nobody we're talking about that are – you know, well, you could, so, you know, Sammy Sosa was in that category. Mm-hmm. Mark McGwire was in that category. And guess what? They're not in the Hall of Fame.
And they were those three guys at the time, right, were the 1% of hitters in a world that everybody was using steroids, still do, by the way.
Doesn't make it right.
I don't know if it doesn't make it wrong, though, either. It just you still have to be able to hit a baseball. Like, that is still something that has to happen. I don't care how strong you are. You cannot hit a baseball if you just can't hit a baseball. And only hit a baseball as perfect as you need to strike it over the fence.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. If you're, you know, Barry Bonds, here's the big things about Barry Bonds. He would not be the all-time home run king if he was not, if he had not been juicing, he would not be the home run king. So that's one major, major mark against him. The fact that he's never come clean, another major mark against him. And I mean, that's a big problem I have with him, honestly. I mean, that's a huge problem I have with him. And, you know, I'm just not going to give it to him. I'm not going to give it to Roger Clemens. Roger Clemens is the biggest joke of them all about the whole thing. The way the deny, and the fact that when his stats were going downhill, you saw his stats going downhill, and then all of a sudden he discovered the fountain of youth like he was 25 again. Give me a break.
I just think that if we're going to sit here and say that the reason why these players were good was because of steroids is a crazy argument.
We're talking about lazy fly balls or balls that are going over the fence. I mean, that's a big difference.
But they're still, this is what I'm saying. The players that you couldn't even name right now, the players that nobody knows who were playing bad, who were hitting the lazy fly balls, and they were not going past events, were still juicing. Like, that is a rampant thing in the MLB.
Look at Brady Anderson. Here's a guy, a home runs, you know, his best, I think, was somewhere in the teens, right? All of a sudden, he was hitting over 50. All right, so give me a break. Think about somebody like that. And Barry Bonds did it for a significant amount of time, too. It wasn't just 1 year or 2 years. You know, we're talking about 10 years of that.
And once
padding his numbers.
And I've said this too before, is that if the MLB wants to now say, well, okay, this is wrong, it shouldn't be that way, he can't get into the MLB Hall of Fame, are they going to give back a dollar of that advertising revenue, Johnny? Are they going to say, you know what, all our advertisers, we shouldn't have been making money off of this?
The people who vote on this are not associated with the Major League
Right,
Baseball.
I know. What I'm talking about, the bigger scope of this idea is that, but it has nothing, you know, to do, we're all, that. Everybody wants to get stained on it, on the fact that baseball thinks it's wrong and says this is a bad thing, but they still
probably
made
should have been a lawsuit.
Millions.
You know, on behalf of, you know, should have been a class action lawsuit.
I don't know. It's an ongoing argument, and I still think that everybody from those eras forward, you have to assume they're juicing because it's that rampant.
Yeah, but here's the problem. Also, the fact that look at folks like Dale Murphy. Dale Murphy was climbing his percentage year in and year out. Right, he was heading and trending in the right direction until we got the steroid numbers, and at that point, forget about it. And so you think about, what's the big deal? What's the cost? The cost is people that probably should have been voted in because of their own talents, because of their own stats, their own resumes, all of a sudden got tossed to the wayside because of these video game numbers. And that, so there is a, you know, there are individuals that got hurt by this, the honest ones, the ones that were not cheating, the prior to the steroid era. But when they were up for the Hall of Fame, all of a sudden their numbers didn't look as good because of these video game numbers. And so there were individuals that right now should be in the Hall of Fame that are not in the Hall of Fame because of these video game numbers.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's why they don't – and that's why Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens – I mean, once again, they have never come clean and say, look, you know who did come clean? Andy Pettit, right? He's in his third year on the ballot, so he came clean. Sammy Sosa, no. Roger Clemens, no.
So
Barry Bonds,
if they came clean, would you want him in?
It's almost too late now, only because they're not getting in today. So those two are not getting in. So you got 1 year, and then you're going to all of a sudden come clean? I don't care anymore. You know that.
So had they came clean, what, 5-6 years ago, would you say yes?
I would probably look at them differently, honestly. But the fact that they're deny, we didn't, you know, anything out there, and if you come clean with only 1 year to go on the ballot, that's not good enough for me anymore. I'm old school when it comes to, you know, I guess because I worked in baseball, I've been around all these Hall of Famers when I worked in baseball too, and have had associations with these Hall of Famers. You know, I heard Watson talk about this, toughest Hall of Fame to get into. I mean, it is so difficult to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame. And, you know, it's just, I just go back, the people that were hurt by these numbers, I'm just not going to give it to you. Sorry.
I just think that every era, whether it's we're talking about performance-enhancing drugs or we're talking about cheating in any kind of fashion, right? Not even, I'm talking about just also physically cheating or strategy cheating or whatever they're doing. It happens in every year, and it happens in every era of baseball, and it'll continue to happen. And I just wonder at what point do we start saying, and yeah, the drugs didn't happen in those eras. I'm talking about whatever it is, corked bats, whatever that could be going further back, right? Outside of just injections.
Well, no,
right?
They that's why Sammy Sosa is where he is percentage wise. His bat exploded and all the cork part
That's been happening for a long time. That's not like Sammy Sosa's like, you know what I should do? I should shove something in my bat to make it go. That's been happening a long time.
Is there somebody in the Hall of Fame that probably cheated? My guess is I'm thinking of one. I'm not going to throw out the name. But
go ahead and throw it out because they're out there, right?
No, but I think there's one or two, but I'm not going to say it because I don't know for sure, right? But we know for sure about Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds and Sammy Sosa. And we knew about Mark McGwire. So, you know, I'm just sorry. I'm just not going to give it to you. I'm going to throw it. This is the thing. I don't think the writers are the ones that should vote you in at this point. I think the individuals that should vote you in should be the ERA committees. If they decide that they want you in this special fraternity, I think it now is on them. So I say no on Clemens, no on Bonds. Don't have to worry about Sammy Sosa. He's not going to come anywhere close. And then when the committee, you know, as far as that particular decade, year, era, gets to decide, I think it should be them making that decision.
I agree with that. I don't think the writers should be the ones that are at this point in the stage, you know.
At this point, I think of this because of what we know and the fact that how dishonest Clemens and Bonds have been, I think the committee should do it. That last year they were flirting with it. Barry Bonds just under 61%, Roger Clemens at 61%. I don't think they get in, and I think Curt Schilling will come close, but no cigars.
Do you think?
I think he's going to be within a handful of votes. He's going to be in the 74% range, but you got to get 75. It doesn't round up. You have to get 75%. If you want to get voted in.
Do you think, though, when his time is able to come up, David Ortiz gets in?
Boy, that's a tough one.
Because, you know, you talked earlier about how the Roger Clemens' stats started falling, and then all of a sudden there's this huge jump. You can make the same correlation with David Ortiz, who started playing well late in his career, and he started playing worse. And then one day, he's all of a sudden out here hitting like he's 25 again. And
it helps the fact that he had a good relationship with the media. I'll have to be honest with you.
I could see him doing steroids too, and nobody caught him. And it's like, okay, well, then that's fine if you don't get caught. But if you get caught, then it's your problem.
I mean, it could be also that he was concentrating on, you know, his, you know, what he was doing at the plate and not having to worry about the fielding part anymore. So,
I don't know about that. The numbers jump significant. if you look at his numbers, it's crazy.
There's another one that's not really been talked about, Omar Vizquel, the infielder. You know, last year he's on his fourth year on the ballot, but he had over 50%. So I'm thinking he's going to be really close. You know, he'll be probably 60%+. You know, we'll find out a little bit later on, but my gut tells me nobody gets in this year.
It's so boring, though, when it happens. I mean, I know it's you know, it's the hardest one to get in, and that's kind of their thing, but it's just also, like, get somebody in at least one year, you know? How sad is that?
If it's going to be anybody, well, then here's the thing, though. If it's just going to be one, do you really want that person to be Curt Schilling?
No, I don't think Curt Schilling.
See, that's my point.
But Barry Bonds, I think, yes. I would rather, if it's going to be one out of this group, I think Barry.
No, not especially in a year. By the way, especially in a year that we have the passing of Hank Aaron, and Hank Aaron to me is the all-time home run king. How pathetic would that be? That the year that, you know, we lose Hank Aaron, that we get the news a few days later, less than a week later, that Barry Bonds is getting gets voted in.
It could happen. It could actually happen.
I just don't see it. I think that there is one. It's going to be Curt Schilling. I'm going to just throw it out there. I'm going to say nobody this year. So we'll see.
Snooze fest.
Maybe it is. 615-844-5600. How about the fact, how ironic is this? When we talk about iconic figures in sports, especially when we throw out the last name Bryant, both passed away. Bear Bryant passed away on this day in 1983, and then 37 years later, last year, Kobe Bryant passing away in the tragic helicopter crash. So two iconic Bryants in the sports world, both passing away on the same day, 37 years apart.
Yeah, that Kobe Bryant one, man, it still seems crazy, right? It shouldn't have happened, right? And it also seems like it didn't happen. Like, it almost like you still, just because you see so much of his highlights and so much what he did even after basketball, right? And that, you know, it's just like he's still around. Like, it's what we talked about with Hank Aaron. It's like, yeah, the body died, but, like, the spirit of that person is never going to die.
615-844-5600. Open segment coming up. And then, once again, a little bit later, we'll talk some NFL with Russell Baxter. ProFootballGuru.com is the site. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon, and watching them stack up here on 65 northbound up by Metro Center here at Rosa Parks. Pretty much on schedule, I guess. Traffic's on the increase now on 65 down into Brentwood in Madison. The fire department's been dispatched to East OHB at Myatt Drive on a report of an accident involving injuries. 24 East there around Briley Parkway. Hopefully they'll move that over to the side. There's a lot of traffic in that area on 24 headed out towards Murfreesboro. Hey, Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies will be hosting Sleep with the Sharks March 27th. All the details at Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies.com.
When you're Middle Tennessee's Community Bank, you have a greater responsibility than just offering a menu of smart financial services. You make it your mission to know your neighbors and meet their needs, and you invest in the people around you, from the new family to the small business. At Wilson Bank and Trust, we're proud to be the kind of institution that's always working to make our great community even greater. Thank you for supporting us in our efforts to serve, give, and grow. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey Nashville, this is Crazy Charlie Sonia, and it's time to put 2020 in the rearview mirror as I tell you all about Bongo Java. Nashville's oldest and most celebrated coffee company now is also located in the Omni Nashville Hotel. Bongo Java's expert baristas take pride in their trade, serving up fresh, locally roasted coffee and fresh baked goods all day long. For me, there's no better way to start the day than with the Egg McBongo. It's perfect. A fried egg with cheddar jack cheese on an English muffin. That, paired with a cup of coffee, is the best way to start your day at Bongo Java in the Omni Nashville Hotel. You can kick back and listen to the spin of vinyl records while enjoying a board game or two with all of your best friends. Open at 7 days a week and brewing up till 2. Bongo Java adds to the great Omni Nashville Hotel experience. That's Bongo Java, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
More time at home means more laundry at home and more wear and tear on old appliances. But it's the perfect time for a trip to the Home Depot or HomeDepot.com. Right now, save on a Samsung top or front load laundry pair. Your choice, just $6.98 each. Save up to $600 on the pair. So wash, dry, and save big on select Samsung laundry appliances. Now at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details. Gas, dryer, extra, valve through January 27th.
Your exclusive National Sports Radio WNSR SkyScan forecast. This afternoon, a mostly sunny sky with a high of 64. A mostly cloudy night tonight, low 36. Clouds and a few showers Wednesday, high 42. Sunny Thursday, high again 42. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherLog Network on National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Zach Williams, 615-844-5600, 844-5600. Four games in the SEC tonight as far as college basketball, including a ninth-ranked Alabama at home tonight hosting Kentucky. You've got 18th-ranked Tennessee at home hosting Mississippi State. Both of those are 6 o'clock Central Time starts. And then a little bit later on tonight, you got 12th-ranked Missouri on the road to take on the Auburn Tigers. And, you know, was listening to some of the stats, you know, with regards to Vanderbilt and what they have not done since, what, the 2017-18 season. I mean, that's ugly. 3-40 in their last 43 games. That's all in conference play, too.
Yeah, well, that's not, you know, that's the idea of why, you know, a lot of people are wanting a change of the guard almost right now.
Well, the part that's really frustrating is when with what came out of the weekend, and you know, with, and we talked about this a little bit on the air yesterday with Jerry Stackhouse more or less throwing his players under the bus. You just never do that. You know, it's not wise to do it as an NBA coach. You certainly don't do it as a college coach. Now, you can do it in practice, but the ultimate person that's in charge, responsible for that failure on the court last year and this year, that would be one Jerry Stackhouse. But, yeah, 3-40 in the last 43 games, 4-44 in the last 48 against conference foes. Yeah, that's, I don't care how you slice it and dice it. That's not very good. And I'm going to throw this out there. Give me Belmont. Give me David. Give me Lipscomb. I was going to say David Lipscomb. Of course, it's just Lipscomb now. But give me Lipscomb. Give me Belmont. Give me Tennessee State against that competition. Same games, same scenarios. I'm going to say it right now. I think all three of those teams would have had better records during the same time frame that against that schedule that Vanderbilt took on.
What's worse, Vanderbilt basketball or Vanderbilt football?
Ooh. what's behind door number three?
Vanderbilt women's basketball.
What's behind door number four then on that?
Yeah, one? Exactly.
it's just not acceptable. You know, you can make excuses. You can say it's because it's so tough to recruit the kind of student athlete to, you know, that, you know, with regards to the education, whatever. I think you're looking at something that should be a positive and you're allowing it to be a negative, honestly, from a coaching standpoint. And, I understand from a football perspective, the 0-10 was ugly against competition like that. But then again, though, with the pure numbers, I mean, with the opt-outs, with the injuries, Vanderbilt really didn't really have a chance. The fact that they battled like they did, I look back at that Florida game, a little bit different scenario with that Florida team without Kyle Pitts. You know, you throw Kyle Pitts into that and you probably get beat by an extra three touchdowns. I like the fact how they battled against Kentucky. But to me, the no-show, you know, not showing up on the road against Missouri, is like, how did that happen? I mean, it's Missouri. I mean, yeah, it was a nice story, but they're not a juggernaut in the SEC yet.
I bet against them, they are.
They had your number. It's like, Zach is on, he's going against me, so here we go. Yeah, you'll never let that one be. You'll never be able to lose the South Carolina pick.
No, I will not. That was it was every time. There was another time I picked against Missouri, and they just went insane. They went insane again, and it's like they just knew whenever Zach throws the pick out there, it's time to play ball.
By the way, I was talking about the Baseball Hall of Fame and who gets in, who doesn't. I don't think anybody gets in this year. So that means one more year left for Sosa, Bonds, and Clemens. And, you know, the thing is, we've already seen one opportunity for Mark McGwire as far as the Veterans Committee. And they said, thanks, but no thanks. Don't go past go. Don't collect the $200. I just think when we get to this committee, you know, depending on what era you're talking about, but that particular era, when you get to it's a group consisting of older players, executives, sports writers. They're just not as lenient as some of these voting members of the Baseball Writers Association. And so because of that, if they don't get voted in, I don't know if the committee ever puts them in, not anytime soon at least.
Probably not. Probably not. The veterans group, they're all gonna push past and say that, you know, I'll take George's joke. They're going to say they misremembered.
Well, that's an interesting way of looking at it. So we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. Will Alabama continue their role tonight? 8-0. Who saw this one coming? 8-0 in conference play, 13-3, huge jumper. They're now in the top 10 in the national polls as far as basketball is concerned. And you know, they get Kentucky tonight. Already seen them before. Let's see what happens this go around.
And this time it's in Alabama, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Tuscaloosa. So they're just gonna keep doing probably what they've been doing, just get on the outside and if the Kentucky's hitting their shots on the outside and you're not playing perimeter defense, you know, they can find a way to win. But if you're doing that and Alabama's playing their game of basketball, then yeah, they're just gonna keep doing what they're doing. There's nobody right now that's really looking like they can slow them down.
The thing that they do well too, first of all, they're third in the SEC in scoring. You know, they're averaging just under 82 points a game. But, you know, you mentioned defense and shooting. If you can shoot the three-point shot well and you can also defend the three-point shot well, they're the only team in the SEC that ranks in the top four in both. They're third in shooting. They're shooting 36% from the three-point range. And as far as the defense, they're second. You know, they're holding opponents under 30% from the three-point line. So that's why you've seen these outcomes where they're up until, what, on Saturday when they only won by 8. Before that, average margin of victory in their first 7 conference wins, 18 points a game. Let that sink in.
Well, you'll trade threes for twos all day.
Oh, absolutely. You could shoot 50% from the 2-point range if you're shooting 40% from, you'll allow the other team to shoot well from 2-point range if you're shooting 40% from the 3-point line. I mean, that basically means you have to shoot well over 60% to combat that, and you don't see teams doing that. So, all right, coming up, we'll talk some NFL. Russell Baxter will be joining us on the other side. Plus, don't forget, just after 5, Barrett Salee will get his thoughts on the Tennessee situation. He is the national college football writer for CBSSports.com, as well as a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. That's coming up right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Still a little bit heavy here at times on 65 North, trying to get a pass. Metro Center, just typical. Actually, 24 up by Shelby. There's a crash 28th at Charlotte Ave that just happened in Midtown just a few minutes ago. Traffic's on the increase even more so now on Ellington Parkway, headed outbound east OHB at Myatt Drive. Was still tied up in Madison with that crash. Starting to really pick up 40 east, headed back into Wilson County. Check out the Andre Chicken Sandwich, now available at Prince's Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pie. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Pennington Distilling Company is a proud sponsor of WNSR's Pickin' with the Pickers with Greg Pogue and John Burton. Pickers Vodka, Pickers Unplugged Seltzers, and canned cocktails are all available and made right here in Nashville, along with the award-winning Davidson Reserve line of whiskeys and Whisper Creek, Tennessee Sippin' Cream. Learn more by touring the distillery in the nation's neighborhood, by following Pennington Distilling Company on social media, or online at PenningtonDistillingCo.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
One of the legends, Icky Woods. We love pork rinds.
So you're not the only one. So I get some pork rinds, and I'm smiling high hog. Get your pork rinds, man. See, ain't nothing like them. They got all kinds, too. They got dill pickle, man.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Listen live online to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show at WNSR.com.
And welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Time to talk some NFL. Our good buddy Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com is the site. He's also founder of PFG Vibe, a contributor to Fansided, NFL Spin Zone, and more. Russell, hope you're having a great Tuesday. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir. And just for a little public service announcement, we're doing some transition work on ProFootballGuru.com, so be patient with us over the next week or so.
Absolutely. All right, so let's just throw it out there. As far as the big headline from the weekend, two words, Tom Brady, 10th Super Bowl. He's going for his 7th ring. And the fact that this all started back in the 2002 season, his first appearance, and here he is still going strong in a season for the year 2020.
Yeah, you know, week two, 2001, if I remember right, affected by 9/11. I think it was postponed week two because, you remember, after the first week of football, the Tuesday after the week one games is when the attack in New York took place. So postponed game, Drew Bledsoe gets hurt. He comes in, starts the following week, and the legend lives on. I'm tempted to do the Edmund Fitzgerald there. The legend lives on from the triple on down. But the resiliency is amazing. He had the 1 year in 2008 when he got hurt in week one and didn't play the rest of the year. He got suspended back in, 2016, and that really affected him because they went on and won the Super Bowl that year after he missed the first four games. And now he attempts to do something that only one other quarterback has done, and that's lead two teams, different teams, to Super Bowl championships. Peyton Manning did it with the Colts and the Broncos. But, you know, I also want to give credit where credit's due here, and that's just the Buccaneers in general who have gotten hot at the right time. They're only the fifth team in NFL history to win three straight road playoff games and get to the Super Bowl. It's worth noting that the last three teams to do it, the 2005 Steelers, the 2007 Giants, and the 2010 Packers, all won the Super Bowl. The first team to do it was actually the Patriots, but it was pre-Tom Brady by about 15 years, 1985.
And remember that one quite well. And Patriots,
sure,
and Patriots want to forget it.
Yeah, well, I mean, they beat the Jets, they beat the Raiders at the L.A. Coliseum, and then they went to Miami where they had not won in a long time and beat Marino and the Dolphins in the AFC title game. And then, Miami was the only team to beat the Bears in 85 and on Monday night. And, you know, that was an unbelievably incredible Bears defense, which now has, handful of Hall of Famers from that team in there, like Richard Dent and Dan Hampton and Mike Singletary and so on. So, like I said, Tom Brady, let me just throw this out here because I want to give credit to all the Buccaneers. The first two playoff games, it was a lot of running by Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones. The game
right
against Green Bay, five sacks on Aaron Rodgers, I think three by Shaq Barrett and two by Jason Pierre-Paul. So think about this, and let's just not you say the name Tom Brady. In the first two playoff games, less than 55% completion percentage. In the third playoff game, three picks to go with three interceptions. And yet the Buccaneers won all three games and scored at least 30 points in each one.
I think the thing, though, that's important is the fact that Tom Brady brought everybody's game up a different notch, mm-hmm, including Leonard
and that's
Fournette.
That's what I was getting to, Johnny. It,
yeah.
To me, Brady in this scenario has been less about his play on the field, okay? Because I think his play on the field has been timely, okay? The touchdown pass, the Scotty Miller, the capitalizing on the turnovers against the Saints. And it's been more the calm and when he did make mistakes or did not play well, he didn't let it affect them. You couldn't say that about the Buccaneers in recent times, especially with Jameis Winston. You know, sorry to say, when you throw 30 interceptions to go along with a handful of lost fumbles in one season, I mean, there's a reason Bruce Arians and them wanted Tom Brady was also they knew they had a good supporting cast, but they needed to hang on to the football, for goodness sake. I mean, Tampa Bay, 2 years in a row, even before Arians got there, led the league in turnovers. Last year, Johnny, Tampa Bay turned over the ball 41 times as a team. They didn't come close to that this year. Even with three interceptions in the second half against the Packers, they made timely plays on defense. They got heat on Aaron Rodgers throughout the day. And what's going to me is interesting than Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes is how does Kansas City offset the fact that, well, they already didn't have their right tackle, Mitchell Schwartz, and now they don't have their left tackle on Eric Fisher.
And you look, and here's the thing, too. We look at what Kansas City has been, you know, what they were able to do on Sunday. And one of the things that I at least, one of the reasons why I think at least Tampa Bay has the opportunity, if they can find a way to put pressure and force Patrick Mahomes to make mistakes. But, you know, although he's young, I mean, look, we're talking about three straight AFC Championship game appearances, back-to-back Super Bowl appearances. And also, yes, I understand it's being played in Tampa, but my guess is this is not going to have anything close to a feel of a Super Bowl. Maybe more so for Tampa in the sense that their practice facilities right next door to their stadium, and so they see everything being put up and getting everybody getting ready for the Super Bowl as far as banners and everything. And so, you know, they've had a sense of awareness about the Super Bowl, where it's being played, because they see it every day in practice.
Well, something to throw out here, a couple things, as a matter of fact. You know, I saw it today via Adam Schefter. Because of COVID, the Chiefs won't be able to travel until February 5th for the Super Bowl and won't come into Tampa until the 6th, which is the day before the game.
Absolutely.
So I don't know if that plays any kind of factor. You know, a lot of the Super Bowl events are canceled this year because of COVID and so on. So it's obviously going to be a much different year in that regard. Let's also not forget one very, very important thing. Kansas City went into Tampa and beat the Buccaneers earlier this year. You know, Tampa lost three games. In fact, Tampa, if you include the playoffs, Johnny, they're 9-2 on the road and 5-3 at home this year. So as we know, home field advantage last year, it started to disappear. This year, it didn't exist.
Absolutely. Totally agree with that.
In the regular season, home teams are one game under 500. In the playoffs, home teams are 6-6. Now, this is considered a neutral site game, but if you're going to, you know, throw in the fact that is them hosting the game, which, by the way, kudos, I've pointed out to several things. I'm sure you know this as well. Basically, one-third of the crowd on Super Bowl Sunday is going to be healthcare workers.
Right.
Courtesy of the NFL, which I think is absolutely tremendous. And, you know, the league's been on top of the COVID situation throughout. And, you know, I know they've gotten criticism over people who don't really understand the rules of what they were trying to do, but they stuck to their guns throughout the year. So I give the league a lot of credit. They got the whole season in. Let's not forget that. So, but, you know, there's a lot of history involved in this as well. I mean, you know, Kansas City's looking to become the first team to repeat since Brady and the Patriots in 2003 and 2004.
Right.
The Chiefs are the 14th team to get to the Super Bowl after winning it. And the previous 13 were 8-5 in their attempt to repeat. But the last two times it happened, New England in 2017 and Seattle in 2014, they got dethroned. So, you know, not as easy as it used to be in repeating. And by the way, for what this is worth, this will also be the 14th time that two teams that met during the regular season will meet in the Super Bowl. May surprise you to know. 6-7 if you were the team that won the first meeting. So below 500.
Yeah, in fact, I was going to throw that out there when you mentioned that these two teams met in the regular season, that doesn't mean success as far as the Super Bowl is concerned. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the other
this is the second time in 3 years that Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes will meet as starting quarterbacks.
Right.
They played each other twice in 2018. The Patriots won both games. And then this year, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs won in Tampa Bay, and now they're going to have to try and win in Tampa Bay this year. So, you know, it was funny. Last week, we had two rematches in the championship games, Johnny. And both teams that won during the regular season won in the playoffs. Okay? Tampa Bay beat Green Bay earlier this year and did it again. And then Kansas City actually beat Buffalo twice this year, once in each game. So going by that, who knows? But it should be a lot of fun. It really should. I still have memories of Tyreek Hill in the first quarter at Tampa Bay having 200 receiving yards in the first quarter against the Bucs secondary.
And he's more than capable of pulling that off again. But I'm sure that they're thinking ahead and realizing that, okay, somebody else is going to have to beat us. One of the question marks that we have now as far as the offseason, not just Aaron Rodgers with the Packers, there's Matthew Stafford's situation, Deshaun Watson as well. How many of the three end up with different teams as far as 2021?
I haven't understood the whole Aaron Rodgers thing. I think Aaron Rodgers, after the game, voiced a little frustration, disappointment in the loss and so on. And then all of a sudden you got people popping up like he's going to get traded or he doesn't want to be there anymore. And I never got that sense whatsoever. As far as Matthew Stafford, that's a different situation. The Lions have already announced basically they're getting ready to part ways with him, and you're going to have to orchestrate a trade in order to get him, unless they can't trade him, and then they just decide to release him, which I'd still be surprised because I think someone will go out and get him. But we could see a lot of quarterback movement around the league. You got Deshaun Watson, who has kind of basically stated behind the scenes that regardless of who the head coach is, he just doesn't want to be affiliated with the organization anymore. But that's easier said than done.
Well, he felt he was lied to, honestly, because of how it was handled with the GM.
Yeah, and I totally get that, and it's entirely possible. I'm not disagreeing with that fact, but I still find it hard to believe. Well, I find it hard to believe that the Houston Texans would just give him away. Of course, they basically just gave away DeAndre Hopkins last year, too, to the Arizona Cardinals, although that was Bill O'Brien, trying to do everything for the organization at the same time. You know, to me, I can't imagine anything happening to Deshaun Watson. We're still waiting for them to name a head coach and a general manager. So, maybe they are waiting until after the Super Bowl. Maybe it will. But I'm surprised they haven't gotten a GM in. But, of course, Philip Rivers is retired. So the Colts, which is not a big surprise. He seemed like he was going to be a one-year stopgap. What surprises me, though, Johnny, is I hear, well, maybe Matthew Stafford to the Colts or maybe Carson Wentz to the Colts. You know, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't they draft Jacob Eason in the fourth round?
But Jacob Eason to me is not Justin Herbert. He is not one of the Tua Tagovailoa. He's not there yet. And so Indianapolis, especially with how much money they have to spend, one of the top three teams as far as with plenty of room over the under the salary cap. I mean, $60 million or so. And this is why we talk about Aaron Rodgers, and we've got about another minute. The reason I keep thinking Aaron Rodgers, the fact that one extra player, look how much of a difference one extra player could have helped Aaron Rodgers on Sunday. Instead, the Packers are thinking about their future, and they draft Jordan Love. And that is why Aaron Rodgers, especially how everything played out, maybe he's backing it off right now, but don't be shocked to see, if as this mounts, the more time away, and if it starts building up in your head, you get to the point where you don't trust the Packers front office anymore.
Well, I get all that and so on, but you got to also remember in the case of Aaron Rodgers, he's not a free agent. He can't just come and go.
They're not going to let him go without getting some compensation. So if he says, all right, look, either trade me or I'm retiring, the Packers aren't going to say, okay, just go ahead, because they will want something. And they understand. I mean, so, yeah, they don't have to do anything. They'd be stupid if they didn't.
Right. I can't see him going anywhere. But you bring up a good reason, a good factor about the Colts. And to me, I'd like to see the Colts. I'm actually working on a piece of the Colts right now. With that kind of money, I think they could go after some top-line free agents.
Absolutely.
In terms of maybe wide receiver, defensive line. Remember, they've got a big hole to fill with left tackle with Anthony Costanzo retiring. And, their pride and joy the last couple of years has been the offensive line. So maybe they address that in the draft. In the first round or so on, but the Colts have maybe some other needs. And listen, I'm not anointing Jacob Eason. I don't think the Colts know what they have with him, but they seem pretty happy to get him in the fourth round this past year. And, fourth round quarterbacks like Dak Prescott have done okay in this league. They still have Jacoby Brissett there as kind of a backup plan. But if they wind up getting a deal from Matthew Stafford or somebody like that who could help them out immediately, maybe they let Jacob Eason sit for another year. I mean, listen, there's a lot of life left in that arm of Matthew Stafford. And, early in his career, he couldn't stay healthy. been a little nicked up the last couple of years. Certainly hasn't gotten any help from his defense. You know, the Lions gave up the second most points in NFL history this year. So, you know, even with respectable scoring numbers, you know, they're starting over again. My goodness, Mike, speak of the Colts.
Wait, we're up against the break, Russell. I have to let you go, buddy. But if you're not doing so already, you need to keep up with Russell on Twitter at BaxFootballGuru. And there you can also find all the different posts from Russell, all the sites from ProFootballGuru.com, FanSided NFL, NFL Spin Zone, and more. Russell, thank you as always for joining us, buddy.
Thank you for indulging my long-windedness. So, good night.
Hey, be safe. Have a great week.
You too.
All right, that's Russell Baxter joining us. Coming up, we'll wrap up hour number one. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Afternoon, watching traffic build in the last few minutes here on the South Loop, the West Loop. Traffic's picked up down through Brentwood, Franklin on 65 southbound. It's a crash there at East OHB at Maya Drive. Should be out of there in a few minutes there in the Madison area. Watching it pick up out through Mount Juliet now on I-40 coming through that part of Wilson County. Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies will be hosting Sleep with the Sharks March 27th. All the details at ripleysaquariumofthesmokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Final Lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
Are you wondering what active drivers are heading to the 2021 Daytona 500 that already have hoisted the trophy in their career? How about Kevin Harvick? He won in 2007. Ryan Newman, 2008. Joey Logano, 2015. Kurt Busch, 2017. Austin Dillon, 2018. And then you got Denny Hamlin in a league of his own, 2016, 2019, and 2020. But that's it. Everyone else is looking for their NASCAR immortality by winning the 63rd running of NASCAR's most prestigious race. Check it out February 14th. You can make your special dinner plans on another night. 2:30 p.m. Eastern on Fox. 2020 Cup Series champion Chase Elliott is getting ready to race the Rolex 24 this weekend at Daytona.
I'm just eager to get on track. I mean, I just have no experience in these cars, and obviously my teammates are all very good at what they do. So from my end, I'm just trying to learn, you know, as fast as I can and try to, you know, not mess anything up for those guys. Have fun with it. I think they're a great group. I had a chance to meet them and talk to them a good little bit here earlier today. So I think I got very fortunate with my teammates, and I think they'll have fun. They'll help me, and it'll help me get up to speed, so I'm looking forward to getting started.
Check out the Rolex 24-hour race from Daytona this Saturday. Green flag drops at 3:40 p.m. Eastern.
Like us at facebook.com/thefinallap.
Paid for by Protect My Car. Restrictions may apply. Plans and cost for coverage may vary. Call for details.
These days, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you own a car, truck, or SUV made from 1999 or higher, you could stop paying for car repairs. That's right, you might not have to pay a penny to have it repaired. Just call 800-439-0518 now to see if you qualify. You must have an automobile made from 1999 or higher, and all repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past. Call 800-439-0518 today and get your car protected before your next repair bill hits. That's right, total protection for your car and no more repair bills. Plus, call 800-439-0518 right now and get free roadside assistance, free towing, free car rental, and free oil changes. Just call 800-439-0518 now to see if your car qualifies. That's 800-439-0518. Never pay for car repairs again. Just call 800-439-0518. 800-439-0518.
The Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes is back. Every time the score changes, someone wins $50,000. Plus, two grand prize winners will win $500,000 they could use toward their dream home. See rules and enter for free at RocketMortgageSquares.com. Rocket Mortgage, official mortgage sponsor of Super Bowl 55.
No purchase necessary. Legal residents of the 50 U.S. and D.C. of age of majority. Ends February 4th. Licensed in all 50 states and MLS number 3030. The NFL is not sponsored promotion in any way.
Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now, 615-844-5600.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Zach Williams. Just a reminder, if you're going to be hanging out with friends, family this weekend, maybe you have a drink or two, whatever the case may be, just remember, designated drivers are the real MVP. So if you've been drinking, Pass your keys to a sober friend. The Tennessee Highway Safety Office reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk. Just a reminder, coming up just after 5, we'll get the announcement. If whoever gets into and gets voted in as far as the Baseball Hall of Fame or not, we'll have that in the top of the hour. Plus, Barrett Salee will be joining us. He is the national college football writer with CBSSports.com, as well as a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84, and get his thoughts on the Atlanta Braves as well. I think with that ruling earlier today, Zach, where it looks like there'll be no DH in both leagues, so the National League, it kind of makes your decision from a decision-making standpoint. I don't know if that's good news with regards to Marcelo Ozuna coming back to the Braves this year.
No, because he's just not the fielder you want him to be.
No, but that's okay. I look at the starting five. It looks like who will be out there as far as the rotation is concerned, and I'm good. I'm good with that. I think the Braves will be the team to beat once again in the National League East, and I think this will be the year for the Braves as far as the World Series. We'll talk more about this next hour. Hour number two on the way. Stay with us, everybody.
WPDQ.